Menino. Okay. So let's take a breath. Get all of us here. The mind here, the body's here, the essence is here, the light is here, the love is, get it all here. Get it all here. Bring it on home. So take a breath and rest in the truth of your being. Recognizing that there is but one reality. And that infinite reality is being, is you. Realize you are not separate from the nature of oneness. And recognize only life is in fullness and completeness. And no matter the appearance, all is consciousness. See clearly, there is only essence, only freedom. Let us listen from the heart. There is one presence, one life, one self, one being. And this infinite, unborn, formless presence is the you that is you. You are the wholeness, appearing as its own parts. So take a breath and rest back in the stillness of the heart. So, how did it go this week with devotion of practice? So just remember that even though there is no person to awaken, the terms are used to point mind in the direction of seeing clearly. Okay. Kind of theme. Our theme today is, how does suffering happen? I forgot that. Okay, now. Have you ever wondered, where is the body and where is the mind and where is the world and where is the suffering when there is deep sleep happening? Okay, so there are three stages of sleep for our inquiry today. There is dream sleep. There is waking sleep. And there is deep sleep. Now, in dream sleep, Mind is active and it is presenting ongoing plays and scenarios. Okay, that's dream sleep. Now, in waking sleep, mind is active, presenting ongoing plays and scenarios. And in deep sleep, the mind or the thoughts subside and consciousness subsides. But the witness is there, but it is unfettered by the chatter of thoughts. In deep sleep, the witness is there, but it is unfettered by the chatter of thoughts. And we know that there has been a witness to this because upon our awakening, we have the knowledge that we have been asleep. Pretty cool. So it's not that in deep sleep everything has turned off. No. You are still present as the witness. So, with this understanding, we can clearly see that everything that we think that we as a person are experiencing is but an experience in mind. Okay. So what we call experiencing is taking place in mind. Now, let me ask. Have any of you had the experience that upon awakening, there are some moments of pure peace, pure bliss, just pure silence? No thought, no thinking, no words, just pure, blissful emptiness.
I've
And
had that experience, Mary.
wonderful, wonderful. And in that, then consciousness rises. And with it comes what we call mind. With consciousness rising out of its being subsided in deep sleep, it is now rising. Consciousness is rising, and with it comes mind. Now you're fully awake and you're up and up and about the day. Okay. So it is with consciousness rising, with in consciousness is mind or thoughts or thinking. Now, consciousness requires a body vehicle to know its presence. Think we've had that conversation before. So the mind is the root where the sensations of suffering are. So in this, in the root, in the mind, are the memories, which is mind, feelings of fear, which is mind, future projections, anxiety, which is mind again. So we look to mind and what it is doing. And if it were not for the thoughts, you would not entertain the experience of suffering. Take a moment with that. If it were not for the thoughts, memories are thoughts. Projections are thoughts. If it were not for the thoughts, there would be no experience of suffering. So, suffering is not a natural state of consciousness. Suffering is of the mind. So now I know that many of us, we have what we call emotional pain, and many of us have what we call bodily pain. And I know it sounds almost impossible that we can actually witness an experience of something painful and yet not fall into suffering it. It sounds impossible, but it is. But it's not impossible. And we'll get into that one. So, as I said, many of us have the emotional pain, and many of us have bodily pain. So, we want to take a moment and we want to see how this happens. So, we're going to take a look at what takes place in what is called suffering, what we call suffering. So I want you to take a nice breath. And we're just going to follow our breath in. And we're in awareness of that breath, just filling the body, filling up the lungs and filling up the belly. It's just flowing in and then flowing out again. No effort, no work, just a natural flowing. Following a breath in and following a breath out. So just for a moment, we're going to let rise any thoughts about where you have experienced what you or what mind is calling for you. Mind is telling you that you are suffering, because that's what's taking place. So these thoughts are going to rise, memories are going to rise of something That was negative, and something that mind is telling you is painful and that you are suffering. We interpret that inward as I am hurting, I am suffering. But that again is mind. Mind is saying, I suffer. I hurt. Right? So it's necessary to notice the thoughts in regards to the memory or story about what mind is telling me that I am suffering. I need to look at the thoughts. And the thoughts will rise, I am suffering. I am hurting. Now, let's take a breath and be with whatever it is. So our first moment of what we call suffering is with the original experience. That could have been a half an hour ago or half a century ago. But the first moment of suffering is with the original experience. Okay. The experience goes to mind. Mind begins the story, okay, building the memories. So that experience was, as we say, 30 minutes ago, 30 days ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. But this continued feeling of suffering is of memories about the experience, and that experience has passed. It is gone. And the only way that becomes experience of suffering again is by the memories that mind brings to your awareness. So at this point, there really is no suffering. There is a memory of an experience, and mind recalls it and plays that tape again or that movie again, and there is a renewed sense of suffering. So if there were a happening, say in 2 hours from now, a happening happened, and there was a painful something that would be witnessed, mind would hold a memory of it. And that original experience that caused the hurt, and when the hurt subsided, it was over and finished and left the memory. So from then on, there should be no suffering or a sense of suffering or a feeling of suffering unless there is a recall. Unless mind brings it up again. So those memories are brought up into the present now, but this present now has no experience taking place of suffering. So if you can see that the thoughts or the mind is active in bringing back the memories rather than in following those thoughts, rather than bundling up those memories and taking them in again to let them be as they are. Their memories, their thoughts, and feelings and sensations from the past. To recognize that is to also at the same time recognize there is no suffering here. It's but the mind recalling memories and feelings and stories and sensations. There is no suffering in this moment. So to have the pain experience, to have the mind experience pain. And again, that's what we are told that it is, and we go with that. So there is, say, bodily pain, and many suffer from bodily pain. But to be witness to the experiencing of the pain in the recognition, this is not my pain, or God's pain, or consciousness pain, or the absolute's pain, or the source's pain. This is a witnessing to the experience of something that is called pain. And I know how hurtful that experience can be. Even though we are just witnessing it, there is the deep feeling of hurt in the bodily pains. But as you sit there and you rest with them, it's like anything else. We rest with the thoughts, we watch the thoughts, we rest with the feeling, we rest with the sensation and watch that. We also sit and rest with the witnessing of bodily pain. We are a witness to it. We are not a victim of it. We are a witness to it. Remember, we're not the body and we're not the mind. We are the presence of awareness. So we are aware as a witness to this. And we can sit with it. And we can be at peace with it. Now, this takes practice, obviously. And we can sit with it without claiming this is happening to me. Or why is this happening to me? Or when is this pain going to leave me alone? Or how can I get rid of this pain? We can sit with it as the witness, as the presence of awareness, without claiming it as being, this is my pain. In fact, we are intended to do that as we dissolve this belief in being a body and a mind. If I am witness to the body, then I am witness to all things that transpire with the body. Even up to and to leaving the body behind in what is called death. So the suffering is of the mind or thoughts. So it is about sitting with what we are calling pain and what we are calling suffering, and watching the thoughts and where we are following the thoughts, or if we are now taking that breath and not following the thoughts and just sitting quietly with the witnessing of this experience. Yes, it takes practice, devotion to leaving the thoughts alone, leaving the memory thoughts alone, and leaving future projection thoughts alone, and just being with it. Even watching the thoughts that are saying, how can I get rid of this pain? Just being a witness to whatever the thoughts are without engaging. So it's the belief that we hold in the thoughts and the memories. It's the belief. It's not the memory itself. It's not the thought that rises itself. It's our insistence on believing memories and believing in thoughts. We were always a witness. And that might be a hard pill to swallow, but we were always the witness. Nothing has ever happened to what I am. So it's that belief in those memories about the experience that will be the cause of suffering. Where in reality, there is no suffering. Even if we have had a pleasurable witnessing to an experience, we might let mind begin to dwell on how much that pleasurable experience is missed and bring ourselves back into a state of sadness, a feeling of sadness or a feeling of sorrow. Okay. So when we seemingly have an experience of pain, or when we witness the experience of pain, it is not the you That is you that is suffering the experience. It is not God suffering the experience. It is not you suffering an experience. It is mind that is suffering the experience. It is mind. And this knowing needs to be taken in and dwelled on. This is no small truth here. It needs to be contemplated. It needs to be taken into the heart and dwelled on. Like those questions from last week, why am I consciousness? Or why am I not the body? Why is there no suffering? No. Yes. We grieve. We have the feelings of sorrow and sadness and the feelings of grieving. And we know sadness. But watch the thoughts that would tell you a story of how awful this is, and then continue to recall memories of grieving. Watch the thoughts. You're saying, gee, where have I heard her say that before? Watch the thoughts. Now, has there ever been a personal person you? Has consciousness ever pulled off a little piece of itself and set it aside and said, here's a separate person? It's not consciousness anymore. It's a separate person. Has there ever been a personal person you? Has there ever been a personal you that is the body? The body comes and goes. What you are does not. So has there ever been a personal you that is the body or the mind or the thoughts? Has there ever been a personal you that is thoughts, that is mind and body? No. Everyone should be saying, no, no, I've never been the body, I've never been the mind. And I'm certainly not the thoughts that rise to my attention. Okay. So then there is no you that is suffering. If you are not the body, if you are not the mind, if you are not the thoughts, and what you are is beyond them, then there is no you that is suffering. Witnessing, aware of, yes, but suffering is of the mind. It is of the beliefs and the thoughts. It is the old mind belief systems. But it is not you. You remain the witness. No matter how agonizing it might feel or seem to be, you remain the witness. So the next time that you feel like you are suffering, okay, so take that moment, take that breath, get out your little card, wave it around a few times, take that breath, and watch the thoughts. Just be aware of what they're trying to tell you. Okay, so just be conscious of the activity of mind, the activity of thoughts, okay? So we look to this accumulation of thoughts as mind, and we look to them as thinking, but there is no one present to be thinking. Okay. But the accumulation of these thoughts and memories, they give an illusion of continuity. Okay. Now we all have a feeling that time is also an illusion and it does not go in a straight line from point A to point B to point C, as I think Mr. Einstein pointed out. Some travel in a straight line. So be aware of the thoughts. Be aware of what you dwell on. It is it is these memories, these thoughts, these concepts and beliefs. This is what we are to do. We are to overcome. We are to transcend these old belief patterns, these old belief habits. That is our mission. And it's not impossible. We are to see the fallacy of thoughts. We are to see the fallacy of the concepts and beliefs of separation. We are to transcend. Yeah. So the concept even of awakening is but a fallacy of thoughts. Just see clearly. I think I have mentioned it before, but there is a feeling, there is a sensation When we try to go off the rail into old beliefs and old habits and old patterns, where we try to leave that point of light, which is our being and our heart, and go off and try to believe something the mind is presenting to us, there is a sensation within, there's a feeling within the body form that is like a little alert, like, no, don't go that way. It's an uncomfortable feeling. It's not a lightful energy. It's not a uplifting energy. It's almost like a downing energy when we attempt to leave what we are and go and pretend to be what we're not. Try that sometime. Be aware of that sometime when you feel like you're going off in that direction of negativity and living in the past and projecting the future. Make a feeling, make a note of how that feeling is in the body. It's like recall, come back, don't go that way. There's a definite down feeling, negative feeling in the body. You can literally feel it when you try to be separate and not be what you already are. Okay? So the concept of awakening is but the seeing of the fallacies of thoughts. So simple. So simple. And there is nothing to hinder you. There is nothing to hold you back from this understanding. Nothing. Okay. Okay. All right, we're all still together. We're all on the same page. Okie dokie. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right. Any comments here?
Mary, I have a question.
Yes, love.
If you could sum it up, what purpose do thoughts serve, if any?
Well, they can serve through the intellect, helping you to see the fallacies of them. So when you use the thoughts instead of letting the thoughts use you, you know, obviously, if you're thinking of a recipe, you want to write down a new recipe, you're going to use thinking and knowledge and the intellect that you have in regards to recipes. So you're going to use the mind. So they do have a purpose. It's that their purpose is not to use you. They don't have that purpose. But yes, because when we start thinking of, you know, negative things or past things or dwelling outside of now and allowing, that's allowing the mind to use you. But when you take the thinking in the intellect and you use the mind, you might be creating something or working on something or great ideas about something new, you are using the mind. And that's a different.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, it definitely does. I can relate to you talking about the mind using and that bodily feeling when I'm being used. It's almost like I'm trying to control something, and I can feel fear in my body because I'm trying to usually control something in the future. There's fear because something from the past I think is going to happen again, and I freeze up.
And that,
And
yes,
all the old memory and say,
that's
okay.
thoughts using you. But they cannot do that without our permission. We are the ones that have to give permission to the thoughts, be they negative or positive, to use us in some way. And even positive thoughts are not meant for them to use us either, or what we would call positive thoughts. It's not meant for any thought to use us.
Because I can have a positive thought about a future event. I'm convinced it doesn't happen that way at all. I'm disappointed. Then I put that in the memory of a new disappointment I have to remember. So, yeah, it's like a computer with old storage, you know, it has to be
That's what we
cleansed.
mean by staying in the now, staying present, which means we don't move one way or the other. We don't follow the memories into the past, and we don't follow projections and fears into the future. We just stay now, conscious and aware of now.
Hey, Mary and Peggy, something came to mind as you were just saying that. What you're both saying, if the experience that I've always had, like you have this great expectation of a movie, let's say, and you think it's going to be great. It's going to be a wonderful movie. And they get to the movie and think, God, that wasn't very good. But you go in a movie with no expectations, and you think, oh, wow, I didn't expect that to be that good. Wow, that wasn't that bad. So that's just what came to my mind as you two were talking.
Because you're coloring the experience of some future event, and then like Peggy says, it doesn't live up to its projections.
Yeah, I had an experience of that in New York City. They were giving out free tickets to the Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that
Yes,
movie.
I have.
And I was with my sister, and we thought, why should we go to this movie? This crazy title like this. How could it possibly be any good? This is ridiculous. We had it judged. My sister said, it's free. We might as well go. We have nothing else to do. We walked out of there and thought it's one of the best movies we've ever seen. So we had judged the name Shawshank, right? Could be in that, right? And I must have watched it at least, I don't know, half a dozen times since then.
It's a great movie, yeah.
And not to get into the movie land, but they said it didn't win many Oscars because the name was difficult. I mean, just.
What about the content of the movie, the heck of the name? But that's a good example of being used by mind or being used by thoughts. And therein lies our suffering, or the sensation of the witness to the suffering. There is, you have no suffering in you.
It also reminds me of that old saying, you can't step into the same river twice. Like we try to recreate something that happened, or you have something like even a good meditation, you know. Oh man, that was such a good meditation. I got to get everything just right. The candle's got to be burning. Okay, I had incense on and that window was open and this, you know, like,
That's not
no, that's not it.
it at
Mary, that was really, really, that's really helped me a lot. But one question that comes up is, when you've got pent up emotions, like emotions you've not been able to express from the past, is that what comes up in dreams? Like, you wake up and you have a really insecure dream. Is that like expressing itself in the dream?
I don't really know about dreams. I suppose it could be, because from my understanding, sometimes when we suppress things, that they do happen out, play out in the dreams. But the sensations of the past are the sensations of the past. If you're bringing those memories, you're recalling them into the now, then that's what we're talking about, that there is no suffering there. Okay? Those are memories, and you don't have to suppress memories. You just have to see them clearly that they are memories about a witnessing of an experience. And that's what they are. They're not meant to be put in a bag and carried on our back, for all of our time, experiencing this realm.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and I like the analogy of the old computer storage stuff. Yeah, it's just being in the
Yeah,
present.
yeah, yeah. You can delete that document.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mary, I think I heard you say before, using the analogy, this is one that has helped me, and I think you've mentioned it before, of the movie film and the light and the projector and the screen, those four elements. Haven't you used that before to kind of, I know you're using the computer and deleting and all that, or, but on the film is really our dream or our memories, or that's where the pain is on that film that's not even there. It's nothing, right? It's just on the film.
Yes, yes,
Yeah.
yes.
And then the light bulb, the light that projects through the film. Of course, the projector is kind of the energy vibration, but that screen is that pure, nothing happens to that pure consciousness, to that screen. There's no harm done to the
Right.
projection of all of this
Nothing
movie.
happens to the screen that the
Nothing
movie is
happens.
playing on,
It's pure awareness, pure.
pure awareness, pure consciousness. Witness to the projection, witness to what's moving on the screen, but not affected by what is transpiring on the screen. So that again, there's the witness to it, but not affected. The witness is not affected by what is being projected by mind. For us, it would be by mind. Mind is projecting memories, is projecting future activities. It's projecting. Mind is always projecting. It's like it doesn't really know anything. It just throws it out there and sees what sticks.
I like to kind of think of the light, because light is such a metaphor, as that's the one eye or the one that's projecting through this illusion, this film of so-called, it appears real, but it's not. So it's on this film. It's just going through this screen. I always like to think of the light as this pure light of Christ, really, or Buddha or Lao Tzu or us, our pure light. It's what we are. That's the true being, is that light.
It is the experience. What is being projected is being projected by mind, Mind is projecting the story against the screen of
Well,
consciousness.
I
And the
always put
screen
the
of consciousness.
mind and memories and dream all on the film. That's the mind. That's all mind,
It's
film,
all
memories,
mind
whatever you want to call it. It's all
projecting.
on the film. Yeah.
But you're right about the light. The light is necessary in order for there to be a projection at all. So, what is your movie? You know, what are you allowing mind to project as your life? Are you allowing it to project those past memories, those past experiences, and then reliving them, or are you allowing it to project from the heart, which is the center of love, deep understanding, compassion? What is being projected? Because, as you know, for Peggy and all of us, that is mind, but we are to transcend those old belief habits of separation, and we are to, I'm going to have to say purify the mind, which I don't really
Well, you know what I just
mean
came
that,
to me,
but
Mary? Like the film is that they've always called it the veil, or you know, the thing that, but it really is not separating. There's no separation there
there
between
is no veil.
our pure light and our pure consciousness. It's just an appearance there that's like the screen of, yeah, like a veil.
Well, we see these objects through the veil of separation, or we see it from our state of oneness with it all. Because consciousness is everything. So we see it from one of two perspectives. And what we are to do is transcend those old belief habits that we've allowed to be our life, and to allow what is to be present consciously. It's always present anyway, but to be consciously aware of the love that will vibrate when we transcend those ideas and beliefs and habits. So it's like there's two minds, but there isn't. There has always been the mind that came out from the heart, the mind of intellect, the one I'm speaking with Peggy to use this mind. And that mind is the one to be present, rather than the mind of separation. So we see the fallacy of the thoughts of separation, and that begins to dissolve those patterns. And what remains is what has always been, which is that reality of oneness. So the mind has a different flavor then. It's not prone to following thoughts and running off this way. It's just like we're training the puppy. You know, no, you can't run over there, and you can't run there. You have to remain here quietly and just sit, be still. So there is that usage of the mind rather than the mind using us. And that's going to be the projection. One of those two is going to be the projection that you're going to live through the day, through the week, through the month, through the years. Is how are you viewing the world, so to speak, from the heart, from a split mind, one or the other?
I kind of want to add one more thing to this
Okay.
film thing that I got going. So that you, and you just mentioned it, script.
I'm sorry?
Script. The script.
The script, yes.
Who's written the
Who's
script?
read? Yeah, who's writing the script? All right. We have any more? Hey, good morning. Good morning there,
Yes.
love.
Hello.
Hello.
Mary, I couldn't follow everything because
Partially, I went into unconscious, but to unconsciousness. So, but one question came up now at the end because you said you can look from the heart to what's going on in your scenery. And I just want to mention something that happened to me yesterday, and I was a little bit irritated. And I think it was not looking with the heart. I was with friends. We were sitting on a table together, and I was a little bit quiet, also already tired. But I had the impression that I'm just watching a scene. And what they were talking wasn't really touching me. I felt somehow how do you say, maybe
Detached.
disconnected or
Detached.
detached, yes. But, well, but somehow I think it wasn't a looking with the heart. It was, I don't know what it was, but yeah, it was a little bit strange. So,
Strange how.
yeah, being so detached and not, no. Almost not interested in what was going on.
Okay, what was going on?
Well, they would. I don't remember the theme, but everyone was in a sort of discussion and, yeah. Talking about himself or herself. I don't remember exactly, but it felt like I'm not involved in any of these. So, but I actually when I was listening now to you, I thought, well, where was my heart? No openness of my heart. I can't remember that there was anything, any loving or opening of my heart. I just want to mention that I was irritated.
Well, the thing, the opening of the heart, that doesn't take place in the experience of person. That takes place when you begin to let go the concepts of belief patterns, the old system of separation. Okay, so it's not, oh, I'm looking from my heart. No, that transpires as you mature spiritually, and you mature out of humanhood and are then living as the grace. That's fine. But to be disinterested and detached, that's lovely. That's lovely. That's kind of telling you that you're not interested in talking about personal persons, not talking about separation and ideas of separation. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That we all probably, if any want to raise their hands, but many I know, we go through that phase of becoming detached and disinterested in the yama of people just talking to be talking. So I don't know. I've had the experience, and how about others have had the experience of becoming disinterested and see.
I had that experience, but also
And that's part of it. That's
Yeah, I've gotten
That's
to the
part
point
of
where I can.
your maturing is to begin to see that I'm just not so interested in this anymore. And just let it be. It's yeah.
The next step for me, Mary, was not interested. And then I could see where the concepts or whatever you want to call that, the collective consciousness, or like for me, I could see what channel they were listening to. So the
Right.
concepts or the label, you can just see through the, like, it's not them. They're not even the one talking. I could even tell you what channel they were, what news channel they were listening to or movie or whatever they were listening to. And they're just, it's not even of them. So the
Right. It's like
impersonation then,
parrots, just
yeah. So
repeating,
then it's
repeating,
not of
repeating.
them.
And
So you just can impersonalize it. Yeah.
So for Ingrid to, okay, hey, that was a little weird, but I'll take weird as being okay, you know, and it is okay, and just it's all right to not be interested in everything that everyone is saying. It's perfectly fine. It's part of the growing. So be happy.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's not only making me happy because yeah. On one hand, I think I'm still yes, I say it, a person who wants to belong also to other people or to be in connection, let's say to be really connected with them. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe you understand. I would like to be in connection, not so much detached, but
Well,
okay.
let me give you this just this little saying. He who travels alone travels the fastest. So you can contemplate what that means, but to be involved all the time with others, speaking as persons, as separations of it with and with their opinions and their judgments and all of that going on. It brings you down. It brings us down. That energy is a deeper, heavier energy than, say, just taking the breath and being still. That already is a uplift. Okay. So again, yeah, okay, be happy about it that yeah, I'm losing interest in a lot of this separation activity and talk. And begin to have trust in what is, because if there is to be companions in your experience, they will most likely be like-minded companions. And they won't sit around the table just talking about, you know, separate things and mind stuff. It'll be different. So just let it flow. It's good. It's fine. You're good. You're good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ingrid
You're
and Mary, if I could say something,
Yes, love.
I have found when I'm in a situation like that, when I just become a witness or an observer, then the chatter stops quicker and people tend to go into the silence more. That, you know, it's a higher energy. So I think they get, and it's not me doing it. It's just that I'm in a vacuum. I'm just, there's just that space, and people become quiet,
Yes.
and yeah, it a
Talking about?
peace comes over all of us,
Yes.
and so we all have that capacity. But like you were saying, Mary, I have to watch my mind that I don't pick up that those thoughts, and just witness, you know, we're all consciousness here. So I think it helps everybody.
Yes, when you take that breath and you let go of that energy of duality and separation, that is an uplifting for everybody. And if they're open, they're probably going to get quiet. Yeah, because they're going to find they don't have anything to say. Yeah, I've had that too. Cool. Great. See you guys.
This was brilliant today. Thank you. It always is. This is like the best thing ever. Really, thank you.
Super. Okay. Any more? Any more? Any more questions or comments? So then we can call this one complete. Everybody take a nice deep breath. Just letting go. Letting go. So, beloved, let us pray. Most beloved one, let me see the falseness of the thoughts. Thoughts that are separate. Thoughts that bring me away from my true nature. Thoughts that bring the past to the now. Let me see the falseness and let my heart be opened. The light of awareness shines in me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.